All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I am here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Gentlemen, how are we?
Bittersweet, ain't it?
Man, 9 games. When you lose 9 games, like the Warriors did in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You don't win the championship.
9 playoff losses.
9 regular season losses.
Technically, you can.
Yeah.
It's possible to lose 9 playoff games and still win the title.
You can, but it doesn't bode well for you.
It's not as good.
No.
I'm blown away. We got the storybook ending. We got a movie.
Oh, cinematic.
The most ridiculous storybook ending I didn't think we would ever get for LeBron. I did not think LeBron James's life would ever conclude with that perfect wrap-up.
Right.
Like, I was really a doubter that Cleveland would win.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Just based on the way that it seemed like the world had worked. The way the Golden State had set themselves up as this super team. And not even to mention, like, we thought the Spurs were always superior to what the Cavs had established. But here we are. LeBron is sitting in the club in Vegas laughing at us all.
And we haven't any basketball to watch any longer.
We have, well, season rolls on. The draft is like 48 hours away.
I know. I didn't want the playoffs to end. Particularly when that series, like every game, except for this one, this game 7 being a 10 double digit margin or more. It was not the fitting in I wanted after the Thunder series, but game 7 kind of rescued that.
It really was. It was a bad movie or TV show, but then it would somehow it seemed necessary to get to the final amazing climax where it's you're like that, you know what, that's pretty good.
It's like Deep Blue Sea, where it's just kind of a marginal movie, but then there's that great scene where Samuel Jackson
right oh it. I guess it is, yeah, it's, so it's the by the numbers then that does lift it almost to the cult status which it enjoys.
Yeah,
anyway, before we get even more into that, let's get to our breakfast.
Oh yeah, why did we even
why do we even mess around? That's my fault. It's the last one. The regular season's over.
We're sloppy.
We made it another 36 weeks or something.
You get that Vegas hangover?
This season was longer because of we went the full distance.
Yeah.
People can't see us, but Keith showed up shirtless and covered in tattoos like J.R. Smith.
Never putting a shirt on again.
No, dude. He's killing it.
I'm just living the good life. But breakfast. Did you guys get a breakfast as you flew into your hometowns at 5:30 in the morning?
Oh.
Much like the world champ, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, well, my food truck is a thing now.
Yep. Deathfromabun.com.
www.
Type in www because the website might be broken.
Yeah, if any of our listeners happen to make websites, just hit me up because I need help. But yeah, we effectively had a long weekend for the food truck, so I've been kind of eating like crap. So today, guys, guess what I did?
Muscle milk.
Turkey jerky.
Oh.
Need a lot of protein. It's good for you. It was like 180 calories, had a V8 with it. But yeah, I went in with a little light meal yesterday. I went to this place called China Cottage before the game. Had some legit Nashville Chinese food. Very, very good. Loved it. So if you ever get to go.
Am I ignorant in wondering if you have a food truck?
Mm-hmm.
And then you were eating terribly all weekend.
Right.
And then you were forced to eat turkey jerky.
Right.
Is the food from your food truck just off the menu? It's not available to eat?
Oh no, it's good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good.
But it's
really good.
Well,
it's not exactly good for you.
I didn't have food options, nowhere to be. I was on my food truck all weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I eat the food that's there. It's really good, and so it's easy, but it's also, you know,
it's got a high caloric intake. A
lot of carbs.
It's also not really a breakfasty type thing.
No. So, you know.
Cold noodles for breakfast,
and
baby.
I'm calling it death from a bun.
Death from a bun.
It's a real thing. Like, so the food's very rich and it's decadent. So
I cannot get
my girlfriend to eat there. It's pissing me off.
She thinks there's too many carbs. And she's right. And if you don't like carbs, F off.
I love carbs now.
There's enough people in the world to fund a carb-filled food truck.
Yeah. It's incredible how many, types of carbs we have.
Chuck has staked his savings on it.
That's right.
Yeah, most of it.
John, you're looking a little under the weather. Having a little
party like J.R. Smith.
Having a little post-championship letdown.
I had a grapefruit.
You had it? That's good.
Yes.
It's good. As long as it doesn't counteract whatever medicine, because I know grapefruit's one of those.
Lots of medicines.
Yeah. Has some special properties. Can't take it with some pills, but a grapefruit. Good for you, John.
Hey, had to.
And
do
drinking
it.
A
LaCroix.
Never sure how to say that.
LaCroix.
I had a muffin from a new place in Nashville. Not quite ready to give the name out yet.
Okay.
It was a cinnamon chip muffin with cream cheese icing.
Whoa.
Hello. It was amazing.
Sounds pretty good.
It was fantastic. I will be visiting them again.
Didn't know of the existence of this of said cinnamon chips.
Yeah, I'll give you
off. Must investigate further.
John, I'll give you off air some the deets on where to pick that one up. But it was
A muffin speakeasy.
Yeah, it was spectacular. You got to have the password. Anyway, after our breakfast, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies, which is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. And for the sake of time...
Keith, please speak on our behalf.
Well, just for the sake of, I don't know, uniformity, we, Fast Break Breakfast, along with most everyone else in the world, declared the patient dead.
Yeah.
We said this series was over.
We send him to the mortician who started doing some, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Very intrusive...
Cracked that breastplate.
Yeah. And then, whoa... Was that beating?
Yeah.
That was a beating heart. Mm. We see it there in that chest when Draymond got suspended. He kind of just gave a little bit of that juice.
It was 3-1. The Warriors had won both their games at home. The Warriors, by the way, had also won five. They'd won those three straight against Oklahoma City. They won the two against the Cavs. But it was 3-1 coming back home. We thought everything was fine. And Draymond missed a game. LeBron went Super Saiyan. Mm-hmm. Kyrie kept just lighting it up with...
Didn't stop.
Incredible confidence. Never once slowed down. Attacked Steph relentlessly. Kudos to the Cavs for doing that. Putting Steph, you know, on the spot. Like,
defensively.
Hey, you might be the unanimous MVP. You might be healthy. You might not. Who cares? We are going to attack you relentlessly. And Kyrie lit him up.
And it really showed at the end of the game. I mean, Steph didn't score game seven. Basically, for the final 7 minutes, 6:56 didn't score a point.
Well, I mean, the
lineup of death couldn't score.
The team themselves didn't score. Oh,
they didn't score
40
and a half minutes. They didn't score. So, I mean, when Steph was, you know, having to play defense and you know, guard premier player at that position, it wore on his little skinny twiggy legs.
And it did. You know,
and he didn't have it underneath him when he was trying to take those shots in the at the end of the fourth.
When he was trying to shake the various bigs who were guarding him.
He couldn't shake Kevin Love.
It
seemed incredible and something that wasn't, it didn't make sense. But watching him all year dominate every single big that switched on him. Yep. So, yeah, it was interesting.
And so that is our apology for declaring Cleveland Cavaliers that you were dead when lo, you were not. And you are now. Anointed champions.
Yeah.
So that's our breakfast in bed apology. So, but moving on to the best things, though. The steak and eggs best things. What was your favorite thing you saw in these last week, last couple games of the finals?
I mean, I'm not going actual basketball talk.
Good.
I'm talking Zeitgeist.
Go, Chuck.
Here we go. Guys, this LeBron victory, I kind of have to like him now. Because of this victory.
A little cognitive dissonance sitting in here, huh?
The crying Jordan face will live forever. It'll never die. Because of the year that this occurred in the 72 win Bulls being so prominent historically in comparison to all these these teams that were chasing their record.
Actually, does it mean that it was officially dead since they can't be considered the greatest team of all time
because
they didn't win?
No, now it turns heel. It becomes not crying Jordan is no Jordan won he's Jordan forever greatest team of all time, and they put it on the team that took his record. It makes him happy now. I guarantee you he's not as sad as it used to be that face is everywhere because it was all over
Michael Jordan is never happy.
No.
nothing has made
nothing
him
has ever made him happy. You're right. That's why he's got,
the
it's
only
the greatest
person
ever.
In the world who get the first pick in a draft, promptly make the pick, promptly decide he hates this person that he has picked.
Right.
And promptly ruins that person, Kwame Brown's life and career.
Right.
And confidence. I don't think he can get a job at Kroger now.
No.
So the long live, that's the best thing for me, man. Long live crying Jordan face. LeBron, you made it happen forever. You beat the team that the only team that Jordan would ever like you for beating, you know. And Jordan now kind of owes you a favor. And you two are weirdly interconnected forever through the internet and meme culture, which is a weird thing to say out loud.
Also through the sport they play basketball.
Well, no.
And them both being considered two of the best players I've ever played.
No, I mean, but the...
Overruled.
How great is it, though, that like, there is this, you know, we are in a world where, like, Jordan's face is just for some reason the funniest thing ever on the internet.
The greatest one is the one where LeBron throws up the salt.
Yeah.
And it's a Jordan face.
Chalk and it turns into Jordan's face. Yeah. That's the finest one.
There's so many great ones. But that's it. That's the best thing for me.
My steak and eggs this week, my best thing was a near play. Was the idea of something being almost the greatest punctuation mark ever.
Mm-hmm.
Just that we got so close. And it was LeBron's missed dunk. He got fouled. He might have broken his wrist. We won't know for a few more days, probably, if his wrist is okay or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the excitement of them running the clock down, the ill-advised Harry Barnes foul, and then coming with him attacking the rim with such, I don't know,
aggression, ferocity,
just him throwing it down. The idea, if that dunk had gone in...
Oh, you'd be seeing it for the rest of your life.
We'd be seeing it for the rest of our lives. In my mind, it seemed like it would have disintegrated probably a small handful of people that were near the basket.
Oh, yeah, they would have been turned into dust near Hiroshima.
Yeah, like...
Their shadows would be emblazoned on the floor.
Exactly. So just the fact that we got so close to that punctuation mark for me was... I just bask in that brief vision of the alternate timeline where that dunk went in and we saw that play for the rest of our lives.
Oh.
And it was a beautiful vision. It gave me a calm peace. Just a moment of maybe nirvana right there.
Mm-hmm.
That was my...
Well, there's a photograph that I'll probably look at for the rest of my life. And it's my steak and egg best of the week. And it's the Cavs, who I now love just because of this photograph, stepping off their private plane coming home from Vegas.
Right.
I think Kevin Love is wearing like an Austin 316 shirt.
Right.
LeBron is wearing an Ultimate Warriors shirt, which is outstanding. And then J.R. Smith is shirtless.
He also...
just holding a microphone, too.
Yeah.
Like, well, he was just like emceeing a party inside
like a
the plane.
T-Pain microphone?
Yeah.
LeBron is also wearing the Kermit sipping the tea...
Yeah, I don't know what the hat.
Ball cap.
So that's another internet thing where it's none of my business. Like, basically, like, you know, you have haters and you just sip your tea. And it's stupid. The internet is basically frogs.
Whoa.
At this point. There's Kermit,
Karopi?
There's Pepe, and then
who's
there's
Pepe.
Pepe is the crying, sad frog face. And then Dat Boy is the frog on a unicycle.
Chuck, you need to take your computer and throw it into the sea.
Knowing
this is terrifying.
Just explaining this to you now makes me realize how silly this knowledge base is. I'm ashamed.
Most of our listeners already know this, but yeah.
If you're like hip enough to listen to podcasts, you've caught meme culture a little.
Use Twitter correctly, you have to be able to read that.
Right.
Because that stuff's everywhere.
And thusly, I cannot use Twitter correctly.
Right. It is funny. J.R. Smith was last seen wearing a shirt. There's this funny, like, the timeline. There's a lot of photos online. Like, he was last seen wearing a shirt at 1 a.m. He so apparently got onto the plane shirtless, you know, got off the jet shirtless.
No shirt, no shoes, no service.
Yeah.
Unless
you're
J.R. Smith.
So the Cavaliers, after winning in Oakland... flew to Vegas. They partied in Vegas apparently from like 1 to 5 in the morning and then continued on. There's pictures of Matthew Dellavedova wandering around Vegas. He looks like Chuck. Yeah. He's wearing a Hawaiian print shirt. He has fistfuls of Corona Lights in his hand and he's just grinning. Looks literally nothing like an NBA basketball player.
He doesn't play much like one either.
Right. He did. And he finally got passed in playing, like finally got the DMPs.
Yep.
That can kind of go. It's not specifically my worst, but that leads to Steve Kerr.
Oh, that's my worst too.
I'll let you do it then. So let's move to our cream of wheat, worst of weeks, John.
I thought he had a pretty poor coaching performance.
Yeah, it seemed like Ty Lue might have outcoached Steve Kerr.
He out-timeouted Steve Kerr. The use of the timeouts after that LeBron block,
Right.
There it is.
He was basically, you know, crushed Steph Curry. And yeah, the Cavs are gassed. And Lou calls that timeout. And I thought, that's a great timeout, you know, after a huge block.
Think about what just happened to you.
I know. Like, and it set kind of, it was such an aggressive play from LeBron and so, like, impressive. His head was, like, at the top of the backboard almost.
Statement play.
And right, it was a statement play. And he said, all right, Steve Kerr, Mr. Everything, let's see what you got. And Steve kind of, I mean, Kerr kind of, like, I think he choked on a couple of the timeout calls, like, late in the game, 45 seconds left with two timeouts. They could have, they settled for a Steph Curry weird, you know, pull
up. It seemed like he should have aborted that play. It seemed like at one point he should have been like, this is not going well at all.
Right. And
but I guess I don't know, because we have seen Steph hit those shots out of the blue, sure, where you're like,
I always think they're going in.
Where you're like, this possession is terrible. Yeah. What's happening?
Yeah. And with Steph, every minute in the game, I'm watching him play like garbage. And he undeniably played badly in mm-hmm. game seven.
Right.
I kept feeling like he was going to heat up. Like, it was just a matter of time before one went in, and then he was just going to be wet.
Another thing, it's going to be hard for Steph to heat up when he got stuck on the bench for a pretty long period of time at one point.
Yeah.
Well, so that was the thing. So Ty Lue shortened his rotation.
Right.
He mm-hmm. made the adjustment where he's like everyone's like, Dellavedova plays good defense. He actually sticks with Curry. And so he did build up this narrative. He gets some of this credit, you know, this, oh, he's a white guy, he's smart, he's scrappy, all that junk.
Like a Wes
but
Welker.
Like his even last year and this year in the finals combined, atrocious PER, atrocious field goal percentage, yeah, like not good on off.
Worst lob passer in history.
So he finally, like, Tyronn Lue's like, you know what? This is the finals. And Lue got blamed for playing LeBron too many minutes earlier in the series.
Right.
But then, like, he just went all out. Like, they played eight players in game seven. The Warriors still kept the rotations. They still kept some guys in. They kept Steph and Clay on the bench.
Festus.
Yeah. Festus coming in the fourth quarter.
Killed him.
Was nightmarish.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, I mean, in hindsight, we can look at that and say clearly wrong. In the moment, people were yelling, like we didn't, the three of us didn't watch the game together. But where I was watching the game, when Festus was in, it was like, oh dear, Festus is back in.
Yeah.
And then LeBron hit a three over him, and you're like, why is, I'm not sure Festus should be in the game.
Yeah, I watched with a group of people, and everyone was like, why is he putting Festus in? And then everyone would be like, why is Steph out for multiple breaks?
Like Sean Livingston didn't get in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But of game seven.
I honestly, maybe Kerr knew those legs weren't there, and he was trying to get him some blow. You know,
it's so possible
that, because it just seemed like his shot was off, and he needed it. It just, to me, was, you know, fatigue.
Yeah, but I did want to give. So I guess your worst can being the Kerr coaching.
Yeah,
but we do give Lou some credit, and we just give the Cavs credit.
I mean, they played great.
They
defense.
Did awesome.
Yeah, it was a scrappy game. It wasn't, you know, high flying, high scoring. It was. Everybody earned their basket.
Speaking of not being high scoring, my worst then will be in the last two fourth quarters at home that the Warriors played this season. In game five at home, they scored 13 points. In game seven at home in the fourth quarter, they scored 13 points.
Right.
This is one of the historic offenses of all time. One of the greatest offenses we've ever seen.
Averaging like 30 plus points a quarter and then just disappearing. Right.
Could not score. Could not hit any shots. They looked total mess. I don't know how much we give again to the Cavs playing defense, but for me, it was just like, what? This is this great team, and everything looks like it's just a complete loss. If it isn't Draymond getting penetration or breaking things down,
right?
It was like, this is all one-on-one. And
this is where kind of, you know, you get into, you know, sports psychology, I think, and you're looking
at, I agree.
I think you're looking at a team that knows they have all-time great regular season record on their resume. They have to win.
Right.
And that sort of pressure with a player like LeBron on the other side, who's been there, who's cool as a cucumber, you're talking about that mental game that I think once Draymond was suspended, it creeped into them. And you could tell that they felt like those runs weren't coming, that the runs that came against Oklahoma City weren't coming against Cleveland. So it was, you know, a psychological thing, you know.
I think you're right. I think it was psychological. To me, I agree, because in the Oklahoma City series, it also felt like, oh, this team has lost their mojo. Before they did. They gathered it. Right. They regained it. And we were like, oh, they're back. They're fine. And then once Draymond got suspended and they collapsed in that game five, because in that game five, they were killing it for a while. Yeah. Like, they were hitting all their threes. Yeah. But then once they blew that game, then it became, I think they got very much in their heads where they're like, this is not really working. Mm-hmm. Like, the free and looseness.
It definitely didn't get in Draymond's head, though, because Draymond was balling.
He was balling out of control.
In fact,
but
without Draymond, I think the Cavs would have, like, crushed
him. No, it
would have
been awful. But
if you look at the stats, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, he was absolutely incredible, but had to play. Imagine if he would have played like dog ass after being suspended and effectively being the reason why they lost. I mean,
you can still say he's the reason why.
No, you can out loud. But
oh, I agree. Like, I feel like
that game seven.
I think a lot of people
leeway though.
I think most people think that the Warriors would have won the title.
Oh yeah, been suspended.
Because I think it was that momentum flipped that thing happened. I mean, LeBron stepped up and went crazy. In the last three games.
Kyrie as well.
And
right.
Yeah.
Kyrie. And defensively, Kyrie really shored up what I thought was his biggest flaws. He didn't play great, you know, all-time great, but he was so serviceable.
And a lot of that defensive credit that we're giving to the Cavaliers is they were trapping so high on the, you know, Klay and Steph. Right. And then none of the role players for the Warriors, like, we had Barbosa and Livingston in the first two games.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it dried up. Mm-hmm. No one hit a shot.
Harrison Barnes,
hilariously bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to say he cost himself a massive deal, but he didn't.
No, he'll still get paid. here's the thing, too, and we haven't really mentioned it, and I don't know, not many people I've heard talk about it. It's Bogut being gone was humongous for the Cavs. Offensive game plan, because that allowed LeBron to basically march his way into the,
not just LeBron,
right? And LeBron and Kyrie march their way into the
Tristan
into the
Thompson
paint.
Had a really great series after Bogut went out.
So yeah, that was a huge loss, and it's, you know, effectively their, you know, the linchpin of their defense. I think Bogut was so that's a big thing. Last year LeBron lost, you know, Kyrie and Love, and that was huge. But this,
oh, the whole narrative has changed.
I know, but no one will ever mention that.
Now,
hey, they lost their starting center.
Now
that's
people
why they
probably
lost.
Think
Steph Curry's a choke artist or something.
No, they probably think LeBron. If Kyrie doesn't get hurt, LeBron would have won the series before.
Okay. There's some validity to that.
I mean,
there's an argument to it,
because effectively Kevin.
But it was funny that, like, last year, the Warriors took it over when they benched Bogut.
Right.
Right.
And then this year,
was the beginning of the lineup of death.
And then this year, Bogut was out, and it became the Warriors have no one over like 6'8" who can play basketball.
Right.
like these guys are like Varejão was kind of trying.
He was,
but it also
flopping.
It was so funny. Varejão lost his flop power, or like his ability over the refs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they had a meeting and they're like, do not call any fouls for Varejão.
Right. Right.
Which, honestly, love it.
Good. Yeah.
Like I wish all guys who flailed like that got nothing.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Like, to teach everyone, like, guys, do not, just don't embellish.
Right.
Let us call the game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to trick us with everything you do. So I thought it was kind of funny that he got totally frozen out. Chuck, you have a cream of wheat worst?
You know the worst thing?
What's the worst thing?
You guys know I hated LeBron for a long time, right?
Right.
Kind of why this whole podcast exists.
It's one of the reasons we got together. LeBron broke your heart.
The worst thing is that I don't hate LeBron anymore.
Do you hate Pat Riley now?
No.
You should.
I hate Kevin Love now. That's easier.
Kevin Love had a great game.
He had 14 rebounds, 9 points. He wasn't awful.
He was fine.
He was fine. Defense. And what I noticed, and what I don't think he was doing in the previous games, it was like crashing the boards actually from the perimeter.
Aggressively rebounding.
He was really getting in there, and he wasn't doing that early in the series. So, that was you know, decent for him. But now, what do I got, guys?
What's your motivation?
What do I got?
What do you have to get up in the morning for now, Chuck, if you don't hate LeBron?
You know, for years, I was fueled by the knowledge that my team was an all-time great team. I had three of the greatest players in the league, you know. And I was happy.
And now somebody else has that.
Then he left, and what fueled me was anger and hate and spit, you know.
Right.
But as I watched LeBron this year, and especially in the finals, kind of just be a good dude and be a dominant monster. You know, he was 37.5% from the field in game 7, 5 turnovers. You tell me that beginning of the game, I say Cavaliers lose. He played like dog shit and still had a monster game, was obviously the best player on the court. I'm sad, happy, elated. I feel relieved, I feel like, of a burden, too.
Well, and one of your coping mechanisms for... Yeah,
that's what I feel I'm sensing here. A lot of Stockholm syndrome. Well,
your coping mechanism for your Heat team not being as good once LeBron left was, we didn't win, but at least LeBron isn't going to win.
Right.
And so that was like what powered you, was your hatred of LeBron losing.
And really the knowledge of, I really believe and still do, that the Cleveland Cavaliers organization is run like a lemonade stand. And they've effectively lucked their way via birth of the greatest player of their generation to the proximity of their town in a weird lottery bounce from being absolutely nothing.
Frozen ping pong ball.
Yeah, frozen ping pong ball indeed.
I'm so worried we're going to see Patty Hearst over here in a LeBron jersey, Robin Banks.
Well, I mean, I wondered from someone who had such passionate feelings for LeBron for so many years.
Love and hate both.
In game
ends
5,
of the spectrum.
When he started, when he scored 41 points and took over the game with Kyrie, I was wondering if you were having any like sparks in your heart or something, like something that was cold and lifeless was coming to life.
Well, thankfully, I was on drugs at Bonnaroo when he did that.
Oh, that's
so
fair. Because like I really like LeBron James. I was pulling for the Warriors in this series, but I hate all the anti-LeBron James narratives. I hate the fact, like, oh, he'll be 2-5 in the finals and all this. And that was really bugging me. So my game 5 cheering line, I told some people, was I want LeBron to score 50 points, but I want the Warriors to win.
Right.
He scored 41. I'm like, oh, that's fair. Yeah. Like that worked.
Yeah.
But then in game 6, when LeBron went off again, I was like, now we're talking. But at that point, I thought, Chuck, you got to be feeling something. It's so amazing.
Watching him dominate, it was incredible. You know, with time comes healing. It's a process. You can't really just break up with somebody you love that much so abruptly and expect to, you know, the wound to heal overnight.
I mean, there's going
to
be hatred for a while.
I mean,
there
was definitely animosity, but now I'm seeing him, you know, I'm seeing him do well. And I'm just, you know, happy he's over there.
You should probably apply the same tactic to your ex-wife.
But that's, I mean, maybe if I do this to LeBron, she'll do it to me. So I hope. Maybe this is where all this is coming from. I need to stop mindlessly hating a person.
But again, LeBron got the Disney ending. I mean, he got the sports movie ending. Everything wrapped together.
It's the end of Space Jam. I mean, that's how you end Space Jam, right?
The only thing that doesn't quite fit is shirtless J.R. Smith, isn't it?
Shirtless J.R.
If you look like J.R. Smith, you'd never wear a shirt. I don't even look anything like him, and I hardly have a shirt on.
Very true.
I'm shirtless right now.
Real quick, I want to tell you guys about our friends at Fan Essentials. They are a subscription service for NBA fans. You can buy NBA gear there at fanessentials.net. Enter the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, and you get 30% off your order. Also, we get a little bit of that money back towards us to help keep the lights on at the Baby Dungeon.
Well, just because the finals MVP has been named, and it was indeed LeBron James, doesn't mean we have to leave the finals MVP land that quickly.
Okay.
Because I have a Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Game of Scones, boys.
Woo!
So that was what? That was LeBron's third MVP, right? Third finals MVP?
Yep.
So in NBA history,
okay,
there have been 10 men
with
multiple finals MVP.
Yes.
So you guys are going to try to name them all.
I think we can do this.
I'm trying to keep it posy.
Posy vibes. Agro pause.
I think we can do this. Keith, you have the floor since Chuck has not won in probably months.
I don't know if I won this season. We'll probably go back and find out.
Michael Jordan.
With 6.
Yep.
Shaquille O'Neal.
With
3.
All with the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't get the MVP.
Wade got the... Yeah, that's right.
Well,
all right.
Salvatore Bennett.
Yeah.
Keith?
Magic Johnson.
Correct. With also 3. Ooh, you guys are going heavy early.
Let me get the Dream.
Correct. With 2. Keith, can we do this? We're halfway there.
Larry Bird.
Oh, yes. with two of his own. Knuckles?
We're talking the boy, the man, the legend, Bill Russell. Whoa.
That's strike one.
Wait, he doesn't have multiple finals MVPs?
I guess not.
Bill Russell does not have multiple finals MVPs.
The award is named after him? So
it's
perhaps he won it when it was called something else?
Well, I will... we will continue and protest. I
think it's possible they never gave it to him. I think it's possible. I don't know.
They've only given it out since the 1969 NBA Finals.
Okay, so that's
fair enough.
Probably okay.
What happened?
Well,
to
we
him.
Didn't give a year. I was
fair enough.
You know, if I can get another try,
you've still got two more strikes. So, yeah,
but I'm done.
Let's see.
And there's only like three more guys, though.
There are five more guys.
Kobe Bryant?
Correct. Two.
I knew he won the 6 for 24 year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. All right.
Let me go Jerry West.
Jerry West, I believe because of his crappy finals performances, usually only has one.
Mm.
That was the year they lost, right? Correct.
Yeah.
He was the first one. So
yeah.
your whiffs are notable at
least. I know. I already got the next one.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
Not anymore. Let's go.
I'll give you a hint. No one has named one of these men, even though we've spent most of this podcast talking about him.
Well, LeBron. But I
mean, boom! Look at that, Chuck. Back in it.
We started
with LeBron James. Won his however many.
Yeah. I'm still giving it to Chuck. I want this to be a happy ending.
This is.
I'm trying to give Chuck the LeBron ending.
That was some
Keith.
That's awful. I don't want that.
That was some Bernie Sanders level charity.
I don't want that. I don't want it.
No, you got it, Keith. Go ahead.
Would
there's only two left.
How many finals MVPs do they have?
One has three and the other has two.
Oof.
Only one who has more than three is old MJ with six.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say...
I'm going to have to give Keith a strike if he doesn't say something soon.
Four,
three.
Havlicek?
No.
Isaiah?
No.
Because Dumars won one of those.
That is a strike three
I'm
for
done.
Chuckles.
Strike three for Chuck. So there's two left?
Yeah. One of them is easy and the other one is hard.
Can I get an era? Rough decade?
I'll give you.
Are we talking 70s or 80s?
70s or 80s.
We're talking
Moses
mostly
Malone?
Aughts.
Oh, really?
Oh, aughts.
Aughts. Back to back.
Tim
Duncan.
Yes.
Yeah. Gonna say
and then the hard one that I was worried about, it was Willis Reed.
Willis Reed, huh?
Really? Yeah.
I
thought that one could be a trippy one.
We also had
but we almost got there, boys.
Yeah.
8 for 10, not bad.
We're not.
Hey
yet.
Guys, we're
80%.
Not awful.
80%.
Only took me five.
That's
tries.
Like Kyrie in Game.
I really
five.
Need to spend some serious time on Basketball Reference and then on Sporkle, just getting running those quizzes.
I don't know what Sporkle is.
Sporkle is a quiz site that's incredible.
Oh, really?
Where people can just upload their own quizzes, and there's a ton of NBA.
Why do we put all this
quizzes?
Into writing these Game of Scones?
No, we've used
Sporkle though.
We've used Sporkle before.
Oh, okay.
to get some good Game of Scones.
Cliff Notes Game of Scones.
Yeah. So there's a Sporkle shout out for you. All right. That kind of brings us to the awards segment of the evening.
I'm sure we have one this time.
Well, again, we thought we were going to hang this up. Nope.
Harry Barnes keeping it alive.
Harry Barnes keeps it alive with the last two.
Can we call this the
now? There's
Harry
the,
Barnes
there
Memorial.
There are too many inscriptions on this award now. Okay. It's become like the Kobe Bryant Memorial.
It is the Kobe Bryant Memorial. Never mind.
Harry Barnes tribute.
I say just keep adding.
sponsored by Harry Barnes.
International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. The International Stackhouse Pancakes Award goes to the worst performance in a box score.
Garbage.
And normally we have nominees. I guess we could have nominees. We have Harry Barnes in Game 6 going 0-for-8, or Harry Barnes in Game 7 going 3-for-10.
Garbage. And the winner is...
I think Harry Barnes. So Harrison Barnes finished... He finished his last three games shooting 5-for-32. That's... really bad.
No, awful.
And those shots were open.
I did a lot of player prop bets
for
this last game, and one of them that I took was Harry Barnes over 9.5 points, which in hindsight seemed, it worked out, but it seemed insane. There was a point where I texted you guys, hey guys, I'm worried that Barnes is going to take 15 shots and I'm still not going to get my points.
I really thought, I mean, this shows that I'm bad at predicting things / we don't know the future.
Uh-huh.
I really thought this could be like the Harry Barnes game, that he would finally, he'd been, playoff Harrison had been a thing.
Yeah. And he was due.
He had come through.
It's extinct now.
Yeah.
It is extinct. And
you wonder if that like affects his psyche moving forward in a Nick Anderson-esque way.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Because when you, he was, playoff Barnes was a thing. We talked about it last year.
40-point games.
So, when that sort of kind of garbage comes out of you, you know, maybe you think you're not as good as you are. You go in the offseason. You're from Iowa. You're all messed up.
Please and don't then the Nick Anderson story is too dark. I don't want that to happen to anyone else.
I saw him working at Costco the other day.
Oh,
and then
is he a barista.
The ancillary related to also the Festus Ezeli, his last three games where he went 3 for 12 from the field, which again small numbers, but he's just, his job is to catch, to roll and to dunk it.
Yeah,
and he was catching the ball, getting a shot blocked. And then he would catch it open on a roll and hesitate and be like, oh, that guy who blocked my shot last time is there. Yeah. Maybe I'll pump fake. I missed it. Like, it was some of the most timid big man play. I felt so bad for him.
Barnes probably didn't cost himself money, but Festus Ezeli cost
Cost him money, because his ceiling was, if he had a decent, if he just kept doing kind of the decent backup center things he was doing, he was due to get, you know, maybe $15 million a year.
Bismack Biyombo done took his cash.
Yeah, Bismack took all his money. Now people are going to talk themselves into Cole Aldridge over Festus. Cole Aldridge is probably might be better.
I think so. Probably.
But Festus really cost himself on the big stage.
So you know how we like matched up two of my favorite players for the Miami Heat, the rookies, 1 and 2, Justice, Richard Slow.
Yep.
We can shop a mashup player from the Warriors. You know, Clayfin Toms Kerr.
Mm-hmm.
Because Clayfin Toms Kerr went 12 for 36 and 6 of 24 from 3.
That is pretty low.
And 7 turnovers. That's an awful line for two all-time great shooters.
Can we also put in like their dads / wives also saying stupid crap all the time?
Yeah.
In their box score?
Yeah, that's also at the end of it. It's a we'll add a new statistical analysis. It's stupid.
Mykesha Curryson.
I want to extract one half of that combo that you mentioned that I think still deserves a little more mention, and that's Steph Curry. His turnovers in Game 7 were so, I mean, they happened a lot all series.
Yeah, I mean,
but just so dispiriting.
He had
ball taken away while dribbling, and so many horrible passes that led to fast breaks.
Right.
This is a game that was in the low 90s. Mm-hmm. And he's turned the ball over. Turned the ball over in the fourth quarter. They only scored 13 points in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And he's giving fast breaks to the other team.
He had more turnovers than assists in the series.
Wow.
Which is, you know, telling and really speaks to the defense that the Cavs played on him. And they were fantastic defensively. And this is one of those teams that's an all-time great defensive team.
I also had a friend text me who isn't even like a basketball fan.
Right.
So the game seven was a lot. Yeah, the game seven was a big deal. And then people were texting, and this guy's question was, he was saying, so Steph Curry was shooting a lot of crazy shots and he missed them all, but you're telling me he normally makes those. And I was like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing, is like he hits a lot of shots that are just absurd. And, you know, even though the ones he took at the end of the game of the game seven, I was like, cheering for them. I was like, yeah, that seemed like a bad one. Like,
yeah.
Because they also had the thing where
they were heaving at the end.
They were heaving, but they actually were moving the ball, and they had the Cavs spread out. There were two chances where both got, like, Draymond shot a three where there was no one in the paint.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and Kevin Love had closed out on him, and it's like, dribble the ball and dunk it. And then Steph Curry had the same thing where it's like, they were covering the three-point line so aggressively, but the Warriors were just tunnel vision on getting a three-point off.
That's what happens when you get your shot blocked so hard that it turns into a Hiroshima kiss thing on the ground.
Oh, man. LeBron blocking all the shots. And we didn't even mention the
three blocks.
The chase down.
Huge. Oh, that chase down.
Tayshaun Prince is proud of that one.
Yeah. But, you know, we didn't mention, I mean, the historical significance of that 3-1 comeback, you know, that's...
Yeah, never happened in the finals
Hasn't never happened in the finals, even though the Warriors did it.
Chuck, do you blame the shoes?
Man, do you want to know something?
What is this?
Those crappy Steph Curry Under Armours that you swear kids like.
The Pete Carrolls?
They're awful.
The Daddy Loafers?
The Air Mall Walkers. Those things.
I call them the Shuffleboarders.
Since they were released, the Warriors went 0-3. Well, Steph in those first cabbage
time,
shoes.
First time they lost three straight games in the Kerr era.
Yeah, woo. And it is, I think, not insignificant that that aligns up.
I'm just glad that Lacob doesn't get to have sex with the trophy again.
And believe me, those shoes, Under Armour stock, trash now. I mean, it's been dropping.
And then since Joe Lacob had his whole we're light years ahead of the rest of the league New York Times profile, karma got him.
Yeah. I mean, really, though, the karma is in the nutsacks of all the men Draymond Green has raked and kicked. I mean,
you said raked.
Raked with a like, K, like a hard K.
With a hard K.
So, you know, when you have that sort of, like, bad juju, it all comes
and
back,
and it's funny,
man,
that it seemed like the whole world turned
on
the Warriors.
It's so crazy. They were the darlings all year.
I
like them. I
still thought they were the most likable team ever.
Yeah.
I hate to be a lemming, but I totally turned on them too. They just
very unlikable. Everyone did. Now everyone's cheering for LeBron again. Yeah. I can see how it would confuse you, Chuck.
But here's the thing. The NBA is awesome again. You know, there's two great teams, really four great teams playing right now. We'll see what San Antonio does moving forward and what they do post Duncan, but they have the pillars in place with Aldridge and Kawhi.
They're going to keep on chopping.
They're moving Aldridge for that picks, man.
Oh, you think?
No, I don't know.
No, who cares? That's like the they're just set. And now you have Oklahoma City with this. Now they collapsed, but they should have some sort of, you know, hope that they got past the Spurs.
Oh yeah,
and that they took the Dubs to 7 and
Thunder looking good.
So Grizzlies, can't forget the Grizzlies.
the Miami Heat are going to be great once Kevin Durant signs with us in the offseason.
Right,
and it's a great time to be an NBA fan, and I'm really glad I'm with you two freaks.
So I guess talking you haven't about mentioned it. You haven't heard the Pat Riley news, right?
Is he dead?
No, but LeBron hates him and is fueled by him.
Probably
Pat Riley, it just came out today. Pat Riley told LeBron when he left, after LeBron had given him 4 years of his prime,
right?
You're making a career ruining mistake.
Oh yeah.
Well, shut up, Pat.
Well, I mean, that's what you say.
You know whose career is getting ruined by him leaving? Your career, Pat. That's whose career is getting ruined, not LeBron's.
Pat's career is unassailable. His legacy will live forever. He's an all-time great Hall of Fame coach. He's an all-time great Hall of Fame GM.
Now might be remembered as the guy who chased LeBron away.
No, not
especially
at
if LeBron
all.
Gets a few more championships. See, Keith, I won't let this hatred die.
No, no way.
I will save this podcast.
You will keep.
I will find a way to get under Chuck's skin.
You will keep the podcast.
No way is anyone Bernie hate Pat Riley. He's too much of a gangster.
Well, so looking ahead, as Chuck was wrapping up for us, looking ahead. Par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to now? I mean, obviously the draft again is barreling down on us. I spent all weekend watching Draft Express.
We will
videos.
Be rabbling.
We will be doing a rabble for the first round of the NBA draft. So check that out on Thursday. You can listen again at rabble.tv.
We promise not to say wingspan or length.
Or on the Rabble app.
I'm going to say the word springs a lot.
Okay.
But I'll be talking about mattresses.
Springy.
Springy, sprung.
So the draft is coming, but what else? What else are we looking forward to in the coming week or weeks?
I think there's a lot to look forward to next season, specifically with regards to how teams play the Warriors now.
Okay.
Basically, the good teams that we saw just nearly beat and then beat the Warriors emulated the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
They played a smaller lineup. And then switched on everything, which is kind of what the Warriors do. And it seemed to hurt the Warriors just as badly as it worked for the Warriors for themselves. It caused a lot of turnovers. And if you just are willing to play that kind of selfless game, especially defensively, and just switch all the time, it looks like there's a way to defend them going forward. It does hurt like the big guys a lot, though. Like people like Enes Kanter ended up on the bench for the entire game. Channing Frye,
yeah,
the big slow guys. It's every year you kind of see like a lot of copycat and sea change stuff happening in the NBA, and I'm wondering if these finals will result in such.
Right, and we haven't had a Grizzlies epilogue in a while,
right?
Because they were totally meaningless and insignificant in the NBA world. But as you're referencing, it does seem like the best teams that we saw in the NBA in the playoffs, they don't use a center who does anything.
And as Mark Gasol's number one fan, I'm a scared.
Right. Who they want centers. They do not want a center to make a move when he gets the ball. They want him to rebound, screen, run.
I'm worried. I'm worried for Mark the Shark.
Yeah.
Are we going to need a smaller boat?
So here's what I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
6 years in a row. Found this on Reddit by user Twiwi4Kill.
Love it.
Stephen A. Smith has incorrectly picked the finals winner 6 years in a row.
It's hard to do.
That's the
you
one
mean
thing
like in the preseason or yeah, like
pre-finals
when we're down finals. When we're down to the
when
the
your
two teams
last two teams the, his pre-finals pick has been wrong six consecutive years.
Wow.
And what does that have in common? I mean, he picked the Heat in the first year.
He's picked LeBron's everyone wrong.
He's basically the biggest contrarian alive. He just wants to be the person who says what everybody else does. And when LeBron was hated by everybody first year in Miami, he goes, LeBron's going to win. Who's hated?
The Warriors this year was not the contrarian play.
No, it wasn't contrarian, but it was anti-LeBron.
Still funny.
It's been anti-LeBron specifically. And
what are guys like SAS and Bayless going to do now that LeBron has dunked it into their butts?
You can't even think.
I think Bayless already said something like it was all Irving. He can't believe that.
Wow.
Here's the thing.
Never changed.
Twitter hint is I have Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless blocked. Because everyone like quote tweets these people all the time to be like, look how atrocious this is. Mm-hmm. It's made my life better.
Here's another thing that we can kind of predict. Something else I found on Reddit by user Cap'n18. Mm-hmm. Last five finals MVPs have been LeBron or the person guarding LeBron.
That's amazing.
So we can kind of guarantee that we'll probably see that next year. Six in a row probably of some sort of
Tony Allen,
LeBron
MVP,
Justice Winslow,
Richard Slow,
Richard Slow.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And obviously, I'm looking forward to the NBA draft is going to be amazing.
Yeah,
always is.
There are, I want to say, the Celtics have five of the first 35 picks. Mm-hmm. You can't have that many players.
No,
you have the Suns with a bunch of picks. There's going to be so many trades of people who don't just want to pick players. Mm-hmm. So it's also
not a deep draft.
Yeah. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of draft and stash guys, but I think there's going to be a lot of picks moving. And again, everyone has salary cap space. So there's a lot more freedom.
I would love for the
future trades.
Because of my obsession with Schadenfreude, I would love for the Cavs to somehow ruin their goodwill by making a big, scary, weird, splashy draft and like moving Kevin Love and everyone's finally happy for him.
Well, I could see it happening. I mean, they won the championship, yes. Are they a well-run organization at this point? I can't point to anything that makes me say yes other than the ring. Other than the trophy, which is huge, but they've had the infighting. Well, they had the weird drama.
They got the player GM.
But winning cures all, and they won. And I think you'll see probably the same roster next year.
Against all odds, I'm still, my last thought is I'm still in shock how it went down.
Crazy.
I'm still in shock that the Oklahoma City Thunder had that ran off 6 of 7 against the Spurs and the Warriors. And then the Warriors somehow won that series and then were hammering the Cavs. And then the Cavs woke up and now it's done.
Start hammering them back.
Hammered them back and it's all over.
I don't want to end. Do you guys want to stop? I just want to talk forever.
I have to stop.
John,
I'll die.
Guys, John's...
This is John's flu game. He's fought through it.
So before the podcast...
He's sweating and dying.
He texted us from the bathroom that is inches from us recording in the baby dungeon, saying, sorry, guys, from a bathroom.
Yeah.
We could have heard him say that.
It's hard to talk with nausea.
Yeah. So he texted us. John has been...
But if you can't speak even though people are near a bathroom you're in,
right.
you can't call out of the bathroom because then that breaks the accepted right. understanding that no one can hear through a bathroom door.
Of course. Right.
So like you have to text.
And the added, if he would have yelled, "Oh, sorry guys, we don't know who he would be talking to in there."
That's
so
right.
it could be.
That's right.
Sorry, boys.
That's funny.
Jostle you.
But yeah, I'm going to get mushy. I love you guys. I had a great season. I know this isn't the last one, but
yeah,
you know, it was a great season.
We'll be back soon talking free agency and draft. So yeah, there's no rest for the weary. So thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Rabble. Write us an iTunes review. Thanks to everyone who does that. A 5-star review really helps us out in the search engines. Once again, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.